Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the H1 FY26 results conference call of Bulkorp International Limited, hosted by Kirin Advisors Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harshil Ghanshyani from Kirin Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, thank you. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all on the conference call of Bulkorp International Limited for H1 FY26. From the management team, we have Mr. Puneet Gopalka, Promoter, CEO, and Managing Director, Mr. Anup Gopalka, Promoter and Whole-time Director, Mr. Sanjay Sadavate, Promoter and Director. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Puneet Gopalka for the opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm delighted to welcome you all, and thank you for joining us today. It gives me great pleasure to share an update on our performance. At Bulkorp International Limited, we have always believed in precision, quality, and consistency. Incorporated in  2009, headquartered in Ahmedabad, we are a leading manufacturer and exporter of FIBC, flexible integrated bulk containers, and wooden packaging solutions. Over the years, we have built a strong presence across global markets, serving diverse industries such as food, agriculture, chemicals, and industrial raw materials. We take pride in being among the few Indian players offering MAP-enabled FIBCs through a patented collaboration with a Netherlands-based partner. Our clean room facility, AI-driven quality systems, and contamination control protocols ensure that every product we deliver meets the highest international standards. The first half of FY26 has been a period of healthy and stable growth for us. Our total income increased to 3,380.47 lakhs in H1 FY26 compared to 2,649 lakhs in H1 FY25, reflecting a 28% year-on-year growth, largely driven by higher volumes and improved realizations. EBITDA rose to 356.64 lakhs, registering a 23.26% year-on-year increase, while profit after tax grew to 180.21 lakhs, a strong 29.51% rise over the previous year. EPS also improved to 2.4 rupees, recording a 6.19% growth. This performance was supported by increased order execution from long-term global clients, expanding traction in newer geographies such as Europe and North America, and sustained demand across food-grade industrial packaging segments. Our profitability benefited from ongoing process efficiency and cost optimization initiatives. Additionally, the enhanced utilization of our solar plant, although in early stage, is expected to further improve energy efficiency and support margins in coming periods. Overall, H1 FY26 has reinforced our ability to deliver consistent volume-led growth with improving profitability. Also, the global FIBC industry continues to experience healthy growth, supported by rising. I got disconnected, so I'll start some of the points which I was mentioning in this para. The country's FIBC exports have grown from $735 million in FY19 to over $925 million in FY25, and we believe this growth trajectory will continue as customers increasingly shift towards certified environmentally responsible suppliers. With our MAP-enabled technology, clean room facilities, and ongoing development of rPET-based eco-friendly packaging, we are well placed to capitalize on these opportunities. Looking ahead, our focus remains on driving value-accretive and sustainable growth. We are pursuing backward integration from granules to fabric manufacturing, diversifying into food-grade FIBCs and pharma FIBCs, expanding into new international markets, including Middle East and Africa, and developing 100% sustainable packaging solutions. We are also increasing our presence in global trade fairs, building new B2B relationships, and strengthening long-term partnerships with multinational clients. With continued investment in automation, innovation, and process excellence, we are confident of sustaining our growth momentum and enhancing stakeholder value. In conclusion, we stand at an inflection point in our journey backend, backed by our strong balance sheet, expanding global footprint, niche product leadership, and a clear roadmap for the next phase of growth. With our focus on innovation, efficiency, and sustainability, we remain committed to creating long-term value for our customers, employees, and stakeholders, and shareholders. Thank you, and with that, I would like to open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Mahesh Sheth from VY Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me?
You are audible, sir. You may proceed.
Yeah. So, yeah, first of all, I just want to know, like, what proportion of revenues currently comes from food-grade, pharma-grade, and high-end chemical FIBCs? And, like,
so, I would, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, pharma grade is something which we are working on it, as I mentioned in my, brief presentation, that is something which we are not at the moment producing pharma grade, but we are working on that. For food grade is the major part. I would say roughly around 80% of the bags that we produce are food grade bags. And remaining 24% is chemical and other industrial products, you know. Yeah, so this is a percentage combination.
Okay, got it. So the food grade will be the major part, and pharma grade is yet to start, like, getting the revenue, right?
Correct.
Yeah, we are in the process. Okay. So, like, I just wanted to know, like, how long does the development cycle take for, like, customized FIBCs for new clients and industries?
So, getting a new client to getting the first order is a process of roughly around 2 to 3 months, because first the customer has to come and do the audit, and we have to do samplings. And then the sample has to be tested at the site. So these are all major products are exported out of India. So it all takes time, you know. So around 2 to 3 months is the cycle time, and after that, once the product is approved, then it becomes a regular purchase from the customer.
Okay, for the initial stage, it will be like 2 to 3 months, and then will be not. Okay.
Yeah.
So, how does the company, like, plan to commercialize a nylon, LDPE, and aluminum film packaging capability?
Sorry, I didn't get your question. Can you
repeat
the question again?
Yeah, yeah. So, I wanted to know, like, how does a company plan to commercialize this nylon, LDPE, and aluminum film packaging capabilities?
So our products are mainly based out of polypropylene woven, you know, so that is, we don't have nylon and those kind of products. So that's a completely different customer base.
Okay. Got it. Like, how frequently do global client conducts audit, and what are the typical compliance requirements for renewing this long-term contract?
So it's normally it's a once a year audit happens by the global clients, you know, and then once the audit is done and as and when required, because a lot of these companies who are buying this product is also sold through distributors in several countries. So then the distributors also try to come and do the audit separately apart from the end users. So it all depends on who the distributor is and who the end user is, you know. So they all come and do the audit on a separate time. So on that basis, it's a couple of times in a year they come and do the audit. And the audit is mainly related to the hygiene, the facility, how we are producing, what kind of material that we are using in producing the quality bag, the safety of the bag, and the entire environment that we create for the people working in the plant, you know, because we are also SEDEX approved plant. So that is one of the other criteria that is required by large corporate companies, that whether you are SEDEX certified or not. Because, you know, they want to make sure that they want to work with companies who are also, you know, compliant with the regulations and the law of the land in terms of, you know, hiring people and retaining people and giving them a good environment to work. So yeah, all those criteria are also certified by our clients during the audit time.
Okay, got it. So good to hear that, like, we are compliant with all of this.
Yeah.
So, how does the company mitigate risk arising from global freight volatility and geopolitical disruptions? Or also, I wanted to know, like, do we have any logistics risk?
So, we do. So, at the moment, you know, we are not focused on only one country. We export our product all around the world. So we have customer base in Europe, in Australia, New Zealand, South America, US, everywhere. So in terms of the presence we got everywhere, when we do have customer relationship for almost more than 7-8 years now. And because of that, as in when one country goes down, the demand in the other country also picks up, you know. So we are able to kind of balance that demand within our facility, within the capacity that we have. So in that way, we don't see a major issue. And global freight is something which every company has to bear that. When I say every company, it means the companies who are buying the product, because most of the product that we sell from India is FOB shipments. So that is all. CIF is all CIF. We don't do any CIF. Most of the ones are FOB. So that is all taken care of by the companies who are importing the product in their own countries.
Okay. And also, like, what is the typical lead time from order confirmation to dispatch?
So,
like, as you earlier said, is it just 2 to 3 months, or like when it
no.
What will be the typical lead time for this?
Yeah, so typical lead time is around 6 to 8 weeks from the order confirmation to the dispatch from the plant, X-Works.
Okay. And have you faced any, like, order fluctuation, like fluctuations in demand from clients? Like, how do you try to make it?
Okay, so we have not seen any reduction in demand, but we have seen a little shift in the demand, you know. When I say shift in the demand is in our scenario, some of the shift has happened from one country to another country. But overall, our demand, we have not seen a reduction, because, you know, along with what we are regularly producing, we keep adding some value-added product in our portfolio as well, you know. And that helps to get a new kind of product with a better, you know, opportunities in all different countries. So yeah, that is something which we have not seen major problem in that manner.
Okay, got it. So like we did earlier talk about the global compliance, and so I just wanted to know like what are the key process controls in the clean room facility, like we have for to meet this food grade and pharma grade packaging standard?
It's very difficult to explain like over the phone this entire process, but it's pretty much the same process as would be followed by most of the food companies, you know. So you have to have a clean facility, you have to have epoxy flooring, you have to have a, you know, controlled air inside the facility where the bags are being produced. The people who are working on making the product should have a clean hand. They should wear headlamps, things like that. You know, I mean, this is something which is the outside contamination should not go inside the packaging. That is the main, most important criteria. And for that, whatever needs to be done, that needs to be done.
Okay, got it. And this is the last question for me. Then I'll join back the queue. So what is the company's plan to reduce cost volatility, like in raw material procurement?
So we are already working on discussing some, you know, some way of doing some kind of backward integration where we can start sourcing the raw materials at volume and then, you know, maybe get some discount on those things. So that is something which is a long-term process, but yeah, that is something which is already being worked on parallelly.
Okay, got it. Thank you for answering.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Aditi Roy from Patel Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good evening. I have a couple of questions. The first I want to understand, what competitive advantages does the batch production system provide versus continuous flow in the FIBC industry?
So I have our Chief Operating Officer, Sanjay Sadavarte, online. I'll ask him to answer this question. Sanjay, over to you.
Yeah, so am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So basic difference between the line production versus batch production is that the batch production, it is a newly adopted production system where you have a high efficiency in the production lines. And this is basically, you know, follows the Japanese system. You know, so when you have to do a mass production in a certain time with less number of manpower, then the batch production works. As you know that the FIBC is made on different designs and multiple designs in one line. So to improve the productivity, we always prefer to have a batch production. This is coming from my experience for the last 25 years. And having worked with different countries. So we have adopted the best possible, best in practices in our factory to improve the productivity. So this is basically just to increase the efficiency at a low cost.
Okay. And so how scalable is the current facility for future automation upgrades? Hello, am I audible?
Ma'am, you are audible.
Sir, I want to know how scalable is the current facility for future automation upgrade?
Sanjay, you can answer this question.
Yeah, so basically, we are already doing some automation in our machines. Say, for example, like cutting machines and printing machine. So as the artificial intelligence and data sciences, all this is picking up in the market, we're just trying to accommodate that into our machine and see that what are the best possible ways that we can install this software in our machine to improve the productivity and reduce waste. So the implementation has already started. We have already installed this one of our machine. It's under observation. And as soon as we get the result about that, then we have a plan to implement in other machines too. That is one part. Secondly, we are also working on the improvement of the energy reduction, right? So we have like servo motors, which are very popular right nowadays in the market. So we're trying to work on that to reduce the energy consumption in our sewing machines. So So these are multiple projects that we are already working on.
Okay, sir. Good to hear, sir. And sir, what further automation investments are expected over the next 2-3 years?
So as Mr. Puneet said about the MEP banks, this is a foreign technology, so we are expecting some more kind of machines into those lines. And we are also doing some kind of modification in the, as I explained earlier, in the nylon liners as well as the EVOH liners and aluminum liners.
Okay, okay, Sam. And sir, how do you maintain competitive advantage against the low-cost suppliers from Turkey and Southeast Asia?
See, this is basically, if I would say, is the experience, because as we all promoters are coming from different background, we have worked in a multiple countries in the past, so we have that global experience with us, and we are working with one different multinational companies with different designs, right? Secondly, we have a set of machines which is very unique. It's designed by us based on the experience that we have to improve the productivity and get the best quality output from the machines. So, and the product that we make, you know, so it's a very value-added product, very difficult bags. It's a customized bags, because most of the time when customer is struggling to design some kind of typical product to feel their product, so we help them to design these bags. So that's our expertise, you know, and that's how we can differentiate from the other suppliers.
Okay, sir. And so, with the Indian FIDC industry expanding rapidly, so how does the Burkhoff plan to secure a larger export share?
I'll pass this question to Mr. Puneet.
Can you repeat that question again?
Yes, sir. Here in India, FIDC industry is expanding rapidly. So how we are planning to secure larger export share?
So basically, yes, India is expanding FIDC industries. At the same time, the demand is also increasing within India. So what we are doing is, because this is a product which is, especially when we are selling in the developed countries, it is not easy to sell without experience, you know. So with our relationship that we have built over years with companies all around the world, we are having that kind of confidence, and they are also having confidence in us to keep supplying regularly. On that basis, we are also looking at expanding a little bit of our capacity as well in next coming months. So probably that is something which is already happening in the pipeline.
Okay, and so how strong is the entry barrier created by MFP technology, clean room facilities, and international certifications?
I'll ask Chandra to answer this.
Can you repeat again, please?
Yes, sir. How strong is the entry barrier created by MFP technology, clean room facilities, and international certifications?
Okay, so see, as MAP basically is for all the food products, right? And this is picking up, because when you have to handle the food products in the large quantities and big quantities, where the MAP plays a role. So for this, you need to have certain international standards regarding the food. And also we need to have, as we have BRC, similarly we need to have HACCP and some hygiene related standards, which customer does the audit in our plant to make sure that the product reaches to the customer, you know, as per the international standards.
Okay. Okay, sir. And so what are the benchmarks used to measure operational efficiency versus global competitors?
There is no kind of very straightforward answer to this question. You know, there is, it's very difficult to measure the efficiency. Your question is, how do you measure the efficiency with the global standard? Is that right? Am I right with your question?
I want to understand what the, means how we measure our operational efficiency versus global competitors? Means what are the benchmarks that we used?
Yeah, okay. Maybe Sanjay, you can answer this question.
Well, it's difficult to answer that one because see, the companies that producing the FIBCs, you know, so the setup of every company is different. The type of design, the type of bags they make, the number of machines that they have is different, right? Some of the companies, they might have, a particular design of bag, just one consistent production line. So their efficiency may be like higher, you know. As we make extremely difficult, complicated bags, focusing only on food grade bags. So efficiency cannot be really compared with the others because of the setup of operations in different countries and the different design and types of the bags, right? But what we can compare is about the standards, right? So what are the standards globally which is recognized and what we are following? So are we aligned with that? So answer is yes, we are aligned with that. We are trying to match up all the international standards which is required by the end user customer. And we make sure that, we get that certification so that, then you stand in the global market competition.
Okay, Sam. And so how important is sustainability in the differentiation, particularly for European and American clients?
I'll answer this question. So sustainability is the key word in today's time. So today I would say ESG is the new CSR is ESG. So every organization has started looking at every organization they work with, how sustainable you are and how you are providing a sustainable product. So we as an organization is also working very closely with a lot of our partners globally in order to provide them a sustainable solution from our packaging. At the same time, we have also invested in solar energy this year. Those are the activities that we are doing very closely, and that is also one of the key criteria for a lot of certifications that we are availing. So yeah, this is something which is the need of the hour, and we as an organization, we believe thoroughly in providing a solution with sustainability, and we are constantly working on getting some kind of sustainable solution for our global customers.
Okay, so, and so do we have a bargaining power in our bulk orders?
See, when you say bargaining power in bulk orders, that is always going to be the case with every business. So like that, we also get opportunity in certain situations.
Okay. I mean, so it depends on client to client.
Exactly, yeah. So it all depends on client to client, not every order, but yes.
Okay, so got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you for that's it from my side. I will join back to you if I have any follow-up questions. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Vinod Shah from VS Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Afternoon, yes.
Yes, sir. So, sir, like with majority of our revenue is like export driven. Penetration in like India, or the strategy remains to be export the products.
So, we are always looking for opportunities within the country as well. But unfortunately, the product that we manufacture is mainly used in the developed countries, just due to the fact that most of the developed countries have the infrastructure to use these products, because these are one-ton bags, these are the huge bags which is used to fill one-ton dry product. Now, when you're using one-ton bag, you have to have the infrastructure to fill the one-ton bag, to lift the one-ton bag, to ship the one-ton bag, and to move the one-ton bag within the facility. Now, unfortunately, in India, not every facility is built for that, because in India, labor is still cheap. so cheaper than the technology, you know. So, but saying that, gradually lot of new factories which is being built, they all have inbuilt this kind of infrastructure, so that they are not relying on labor, rather they are relying on the technology, like the forklift, like conveyor belts and filling stations, and those are the kind of opportunities which will help us to market this product in India. We are always trying to find those kind of opportunities, and we are already in consistent discussions with a lot of large corporate companies, because the companies who are exporting their products out of India, like chemicals and cement, they are the ones who use this product. Unfortunately, the companies who sell the product within the country are not using that much of these FIVC bags, you know. But saying that, in coming years, I definitely see the opportunity within the country, because as you already know that nowadays it's so difficult to find people to work the mundane job. So a lot of companies have started implementing these kind of infrastructure so that they can start using one-ton bags.
Okay, great, sir. Great. Sir, our utilization is currently 60%, right?
Correct.
Okay, sir. So, are we trying to utilization? How can we do that?
So we are already working on getting a higher utilization in terms of trying to get some orders from different countries, some volume orders. Maybe it could be a little less profitable, but just to keep the production running and keep utilizing the capacity, we are always in discussion with large volume tenders, you know. So that is how we can fill, because we are very choosy in taking up the orders, because end of the day we don't want non-profitable orders. So we always work on higher margin, more complicated bags. But as I mentioned earlier, that we are also looking at bigger volume with low margin business as well, so that we can fill our capacity.
Okay. And so once we were capacity reaches, so still in the boardroom, are we planning to do some CapEx beyond 4,800 of metric capacity?
Yes, it is in the pipeline. For next year, we do have a plan to do some CapEx to increase the production capacity as well.
How much CapEx we are talking about and how we are planning?
At the moment, I don't have a plan in my mind. We are already just discussing on the paper, so we don't have a number yet. So that is going to happen in next quarter.
Okay, good. Are we planning any backward integration into fabric manufacturing?
We are evaluating it. As I said, that these are the kind of projects that we are discussing: backward integration or forward integration, or increasing the existing capacity. These are the discussions that we are already working on. So we will have a better clarity probably next quarter.
Okay, sir. I have one last question. Our new products, PET sustainable FIBC products. So what contribution can we expect in revenue over, let's just say, next 2, 3, 4 years?
So we can expect roughly around 10 to 15% of contribution from this kind of product in the next 2 years' time.
Okay, that's all, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one. Our next question comes from the line of Riya Shah from Orient Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
You are audible, ma'am. You may proceed.
Okay. So what percentage of annual contracts versus spot orders, and how does the mix after affect pricing and planning?
So yeah, your voice is cracking up. Can you repeat the question? There's a little bit of background noise.
Am I audible now?
You are audible. Can you repeat the question, please?
Okay. What percentage of orders are annual contracts versus spot orders, and how does this mix affect pricing and planning?
So, annual contracts, I would say roughly around 25% is annual contract, and majority is spot orders, because these are all mainly customized product. These are not a standard product that is being produced, like how you produce a mobile phone or anything like that, So every industry has a different design, different sizes. Every product density is different, so because of that, the design changes. Now, in terms of the pricing, if it's an annual contract, it will have a certain pricing. If it's a spot order, the pricing changes, So depending on what the particular price of the raw material is. But if it's an annual contract, we also consider any kind of fluctuation as part of the pricing as well.
Okay. And I have one more question. How does the company manage sudden spikes in order volumes during seasonal cycles for sectors like agricultural or chemicals?
So sudden spikes, I mean, normally we only try to take the orders as much as our capacity, because we don't want to turn down our customers' expectation from us. So we always try to focus on. So what we do is we always try to balance our capacity with the order inflow. At the same time, we always do the beforehand planning of our capacity. So in that way, we are able to visualize that how much capacity we have built and how much we are able to fulfill. But that also gives us some kind of projection for the future, and that helps us to keep working on increasing some capacity for the next quarter or next year,
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sakshi Shinde from Shah Consultancy Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir.
Evening.
Question is, how does the company leverage its solar power plant and the green initiatives under client pitches?
I'll ask Sanjay to answer this question, please.
Sorry, I didn't get the. Can you repeat again, please?
Yeah. How significant is sustainability as a buying criteria for export clients, and how does the company leverage its solar power plant and the green initiatives under the client pitches?
Well, if I understand it correctly, that you're asking about the foreign clients asking about sustainability, right? And green power, the clean energy.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. So this demand, when we work about the long tenders, the big tenders and the corporate companies, certainly they ask about our plan for the sustainable and green energy and clean energy, right? So we, as mentioned earlier, we already have the solar power plant in system. On top of that, we also have the recycling of water system that is in place. We also have the energy reduction plant in the plant. So all this put together, we always kind of take the initiative about the clean energy. And on top of that, we also give this kind of regular information to our customers that the company is always focused on the sustainable, the goals.
Okay, sir. So, what is expected demand trend for sustainable FIBCs in Europe and North America?
Maybe you want to answer this, Puneet?
So the sustainable packaging demand is gradually increasing in all these developed countries, because of the policies that is being defined by the government in these countries are pushing the customer cable solution for their packaging.
Okay. And the last question is, bulk of hold multiple certifications. So how does the certification translate into pricing premium or the long-term contracts?
Well, the certification like BRC, which is basically for the food grade. So you must have this certification for all the food grade production. So certainly affects on the pricing because we get the order based on the food grade facility, right? Secondly, we have the certificate called SEDEX, which is the ethical data exchange certificate. So when we work with the corporate companies, big companies, and when we have big tenders, it is mandatory you have this kind of certification to participate in those tenders. So if you don't have this, you can't participate. So that helps us to kind of get entry to all the multinational and big companies tenders. And along with that, we have certification for health and safety and the environment. That helps us to pass all the audits because, as mentioned earlier, we have audits every year from almost most of our customers. So they once they audit, the main focus is about the health and safety and the environment of the plant. So certainly, all these certifications help us to not only the pricing but also for the getting into the big tenders and passing the audits.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Pooja Mishra from J&M Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you're audible, ma'am. You may proceed.
Yes. So my first question is, are you exploring joint venture? Hello? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes. So my first question is, are you exploring joint ventures or partnerships with overseas distributors or food companies?
We are not actively exploring and we have not been approached by anyone yet. That's my answer.
Okay. And my second question is, what is the long-term vision? Remain a niche food, pharma-grade specialist, or you are into the scale global FIBC manufacturers?
So our long-term vision is to be focused on food grade specialized bags, you know, but grow in the same sector.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, yeah.
Okay, thank you. That's it for myself.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one on your touchtone telephones. Our next question comes from the line of Mahesh Seth from VY Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Sir, you are audible. You may proceed.
Yeah. So I had some more questions. So like I just wanted to know like how does the company decide for geographic prioritization for expansion? Like, are there any criteria we look into, like a market size, margin fit, or a regulatory, any logistic group?
Sorry, can you be a little louder? I couldn't hear your question, please.
Okay, so I'll repeat. So I just wanted to know, like, how does a company decide, like, geographic prioritization for expansion? Like, are there any criteria like market size, margin, or regulatory fit, or any logistic route?
So, when we look at expanding our capacity, mainly we look through growth in the market size. Because as I said that, because we are working in this industry for so long, we have a very close collaborators or our distribution partners in different parts of the world. And when there is because they are closer to the ground level, you know, so when we get a intimation that there is an opportunity that is growing there and this is the industry that has come up, they are winning some contracts. So to fulfill those contracts, we'll have to build our capacity, you know. So then on that basis, we build our capacity, we increase our capacity. So these are the criteria, and on top of that, also the regulatory policies changes also helps to give a little bit more confidence, you know. So yeah, these are the combination, I would say.
Okay, got it. And, like, how are customers' sustainability requirements reshaping? Like, how are customers' sustainability requirements reshaping our product designs and raw material choices?
So most of the customers are now looking for some kind of recycled material being used in the packaging, you know, because that is the requirement for a lot of companies globally, that you have to use some portion of the PCR recycled material to comply with the EPR regulations. So yeah, these are the kind of things that we get requests, and that's something which we work closely with some of the recycling companies in India as well.
Okay. Got it. Thank you for that.
Thank you. We have no further questions, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Harshil Ghanshyani for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yes, thank you. Thank you everyone for joining the conference call of Bulk International Limited. If you have any further queries, you can write us at research@kirinadvisors.com. Once again, thank you everyone for joining the conference call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
On behalf of Kirin Advisors Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.